Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. We'll sing. Runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Hey, Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you, oh, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place? Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, till the clouds roll forever from the sea. till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Storms come no more. Let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by.
Good morning, Soma. It's a gray Sunday morning, Palm Sunday. So today's message is, "And the King Rode Upon a Mule." We're going to be digging through Matthew 21, 1 through 11. Let me open with a couple of verses for you to think about. Psalm 105, 1 to 3. Psalm 105, 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Isaiah 61, 1 and the first half of 2. Isaiah 61, 1 and the first half of 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let me pray. O Almighty God, how great you are. How astounding is your story. You are our great King, our prophet, and our priest. Your salvation surrounds us and fills us like the air that we breathe. We listen to the story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem and try to imagine what it must have been like for the people watching as you rode up the side of the mountain to the east gate of Jerusalem that bright sunny day. The palm fronds waving and everyone crying out, "Hosanna." what it must have been like to see that. I imagine only the day that you came back to take us all home will be greater. Lord, in these times of uncertainty here on earth, we know where you are going. We do not know where we are, though. You are our rock, our salvation. We rest in your assurances. You give us peace that the earth cannot know or understand, because ultimately we know truly where we will go. As we look to the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem, we ask that you open our hearts to hear your word, to hear your story, to wonder and stand in awe of who you are. Lord, make your word a part of our very being. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So welcome to the virtual edition for 5 April 2020. I'm glad you're listening in to hear out the message on this Palm Sunday. We're taking a break from the prophet Zechariah to begin Passion Week, but there's a Zechariah reference here anyway. It's hard to imagine what travel must have been like in the ancient world. I have a historian friend from NASA who says that the people in the 1840s had more in common with Roman centurions than they do with us today. It's hard for us to imagine what it must have been like. We don't understand what it is to cross a country hundreds or thousands of miles on an animal, to cross an ocean by sail, or to till the soil to grow the food that we depend on for our families' lives. By way of introduction, I have a couple of passages to read for you before we get to Matthew 21 for our passage today. So this first passage happens about 970 years before Jesus. And the chronicler wrote this. David is the king of Israel. He is a very, very old man. He is dying, and he knows this. He knows he has only a few days left. And David wants to leave the kingdom of Israel to Solomon. This is 1 Kings 1, 28 to 35. 1 Kings 1, 28 to 35. Then King David answered, "Call Bathsheba to me." So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore, saying, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. Even so will I do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and paid homage to the king and said, "May my Lord, King David, live forever." King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada." And so they came before the king, and the king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your Lord, and have Solomon, my son, ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon." And Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada took him there and anointed him king over Israel. And then blow the trumpet and say, "Long live King Solomon. He shall then come up after me. He shall come and sit on my throne, for he shall be king in my place. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." There are several things here you should get immediately from this passage. First, that David wishes for Solomon to ride his mule, not a war horse, not a chariot, a mule. And second, Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, are to anoint Solomon the king. Did you get all that? The priest, the prophet, and the king all together in one place to anoint Solomon before God. Now we move forward. It's about 580 years before Jesus would ride up the hill. to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is under siege, and the Babylonians are causing the walls of Jerusalem to fall. God's people in their city are being destroyed by unbeliever hordes. And Ezekiel has a vision of God returning to the temple, even as the city around him burns. This is Ezekiel 43, 1 to 7, the first half of 7. Ezekiel 1, 43, 1 through 2, the first half of 7. And he led me to the gate facing east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the east. And the sound of his coming was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And the vision I saw was just like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, just like the vision that I had seen by the Chebar Canal. And I fell on my face as the glory of the Lord entered the temple by the gate facing east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. While the man was standing beside me, I heard one speaking to me out of the temple. And he said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the people of Israel forever." So this passage from Ezekiel, even as the city is burning around him, Ezekiel is given a vision of what it will be like when God returns to the temple. The glory of God coming up from the east, and the sound like that of rushing water. The glory of the Lord enters the temple from the gate facing east, and the glory of the Lord fills the temple. And God promises Ezekiel, saying, "I will dwell in the midst of the people of Israel forever." Let's come forward again a little bit. 510 years before Jesus. Here we have a passage from Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah has a vision. I think you can all imagine that now. We will cover this one again, but here we are only looking at one very specific piece of Zechariah. This is Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous, and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Again, a few things to note here. First, your king is coming to you. You don't have to go find him. He is coming to you. In fact, we are not capable of finding him. It is he who must come to us. Second, even more important, he is righteous. That's an interesting one because there is none who is righteous, not even one. Only God is wholly righteous. Third, he is bringing salvation with him. Again, we cannot find salvation. It is he who must bring it to us. Fourth, he is humble. Almost as though you can imagine that he would come back as an itinerant rabbi wandering through the Holy Land, calling for his people to follow him. And last, he is riding on a young donkey. I want you to think of what it must be like the week before Passover in about AD 30. If it's AD 30, then the date is the 2nd of April. The 2nd of April, 30 AD. At this time in Israel, there was a subversive group trying to free the Jews from the Romans to create a Jewish state and overthrow the Roman occupation. Their symbol was a hand. This subversive group was using guerrilla tactics against the Romans. In the summer of 1914, a group was named after this group in Israel, called the Black Hand, and they would start World War I by assassinating Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria-Hungary. In Judah that day, In 30 AD, the seasons are changing. It's springtime in Jerusalem. Winter is over. The air is warm. And now we open to our passage. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. Verses 1 and 2. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." Jesus and his disciples have been traveling for quite some time to arrive in Jerusalem for the Passover. Again, many, many hundreds of miles to cross in order to come to Jerusalem every year for the Passover. And they come into the village of Bethphage at the bottom of the Mount of Olives. The Kidron Valley is there between the Mount of Olives and the Temple Mount. Jesus sends two of his disciples into the village to find a colt, a young donkey, and its mother. Jesus tells them to bring the donkey and her colt to him. I find it hard to imagine that they knew what Jesus wanted with the donkey and its colt. I'm rather sure the disciples would not have connected Jesus' actions with the verses that we had just talked about. Verse 3. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once. It appears Jesus anticipated that someone would be asking what they were doing. So Jesus provides assurance. Because Jesus is the one saying this, I think it's a 100% sure thing that the disciples were indeed questioned about what they were doing. And they explained exactly as Jesus had instructed them. Verses 4 and 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." And here is our passage from Zechariah. We also know that almost 1,000 years before Jesus and almost 500 years before Zechariah, David did this with Solomon. And we know the king, the priest, and the prophet were there, all in the same place at the time of David. And here again is the king, the priest, and the prophet all in one place. Except this time, all three of them are Jesus. Because Jesus is all three of these in one person. Verses 6 and 7. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on, and he sat on them. Jesus' disciples spread their cloaks over the colt, and Jesus mounts the colt. Verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Here in verse 8, we see that the people respond as well. The crowds must have known of Jesus. This was not long after the raising of Lazarus. The word of that event spread quickly like wildfire throughout the region. How could it not? And now here was the man himself riding on a small donkey into Jerusalem. Many of them must have understood the allusion, the king riding on the donkey into Jerusalem. In the emotional swell of the moment, the crowd came together as one. And now verse 9. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So here in verse 9, did they know? Did they understand? I don't believe that they really did. I am pretty sure they were thinking of an earthly king. If they had known that here was the king of the universe, they would have fallen on their faces to worship. Instead, this is more like a cheer, a cry of adulation. And they lift their hands to cry out, and the leaders see these hands being lifted up. And some of them must be thinking of the guerrilla movement. Is Jesus their leader? But some of the crowd might have known, or at least suspected. Even Jesus' closest followers knew in word, though deep down in their hearts, they did not understand indeed. Verses 10 and 11. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Here in verses 10 and 11, the word of Jesus' arrival travels quickly throughout the city. But again, they were thinking in earthly terms. And you can hear this when they say, "This is the prophet." The Apostle John had an additional postscript to this passage. John 12, 16 to 19. John 12, 16 to 19. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that we are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Indeed, the world did go after him. The Pharisees had gained nothing. The church has gone forth from that time to where we are today, here and now. The crowds were enthralled to see Jesus on that day. How much more will we all be on the day that Jesus comes back again? Here is something so incongruous about the King of the universe riding on a foal up the stony path from Bethphage to the east gate of Jerusalem, to enter the temple grounds through the east gate. The roar of the crowd, like the sound of rushing water, as Ezekiel said, announcing Jesus' arrival. And Jesus knowing through all of this, it is only the opening of the final scene where Jesus defeats death. Let's pray. O Lord God, how great you are. And how amazing is your story of salvation. In this time of uncertainty, Lord, it is very difficult for us to understand. We do not see your hand on all this. And yet it must be because you are the mighty King. And it is you who controls everything. And there is a purpose here to bring yourself more glory, Lord. We know this and we understand this. Heavenly Father, there are many who are sick and many who are dying. Lord, I hope they all hear the name of your Son, Jesus. They need him now more than ever, as we all do. Heavenly Father, there's one of our own community who is sick right now, our brother Sal. Heavenly Father, I lift Sal up to you that he might feel your healing hand and that you would bring him back to be with us again when we can all gather again to worship you. Heavenly Father, how amazing you are, God. Lord, we love you. Jesus, we sing praise to you for your greatest of all gifts to us, yourself. We think on that day where you rode into Jerusalem, knowing that you were going to your own painful death. We thank you and we praise you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.
All this earth could
from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you. You make beautiful things.
You make beautiful things
out of the dark. Thank you. back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King of the all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.